I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Leviticus, chapter 16 tonight. We're going to start looking tonight at the Day of Atonement. And there are several things that it's going to take several Wednesday nights. It's not going to be something that we're just going to do in one night. It's going to take several nights to get us through this. And I have learned so much just preparing this first lesson. It has taken me just about all day yesterday and all day today to do it. And because there's just so much here. And if you'll look at chapter 16 and we'll look at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering." Now we're going to stop right there we're going to pray, and then we're going to look at this Day of Atonement. And what I want to do, you'll notice in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died." Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you back to the 10th chapter where we read the story of the death of Nadab and Abihu. All right, chapter 16 is discussing this Day of Atonement. The day started early in the morning with the morning sacrifice. And something tragic happened at the offering of the morning sacrifice with Nadab and Abihu. And so we're going to go back to chapter 10 in just a moment after we pray. And we're going to start at the beginning of the day and work our way forward. And so next year when we're finished, you will understand the Day of Atonement, I hope. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God, and we ask your blessings upon it now. And Lord, just help us to get some things tonight that will strengthen our faith, help us better understand our salvation. And Lord, I just thank you so much for the beautiful pictures that are here. And so, Lord, bless us richly now and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go back to the 10th chapter for just a minute, and let me read to you the first couple of verses here of the 10th chapter. It says in verse 1, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons." So he had four sons, all right? Nadab and Abihu, then Eleazar and Ithamar. "He said, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled." Now we'll stop reading right there. You keep your Bible open to this chapter. This is amazing stuff. And I want you to listen very carefully to the introduction and then a couple of things tonight. In each of these first five books of the Bible, what we call the law, called the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, the five books of the law. There is one striking chapter to which we instinctively turn to find almost perfect, and I didn't say perfect, I said almost perfect, beautiful pictures of God's free salvation that He provided for us when He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis, for example, that chapter is chapter 22, where Abraham went to Mount Zion, went to what would become Mount Calvary, and there offered his only son as a sacrifice. And you remember the story. And they were walking towards the place, and Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb?" And God said that, or Abraham said that God would provide Himself a lamb. So that is such a beautiful picture, and it directs our attention to and our thoughts to the Lamb of God, God's blessed Son, as He is revealed to us in the glorious Gospel of John as the Lamb of God. Then in Exodus, the chapter that just screams with symbolic picture, symbolic reference, is the 12th chapter. And in the 12th chapter of Exodus, we see the institution of the Passover and how all the instruction concerning the Passover lamb with its blood sprinkled upon the doorpost of each of the homes. And when the angel of the Lord came over, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so what a beautiful picture of salvation that is. When we trust Christ as our Savior, the New Testament teaches us that our hearts are sprinkled with the blood. And so when God sees the blood of His Son, He no longer holds us accountable and responsible for our sin, but He lays the blame upon His Son, and Jesus pays our penalty in sin. We see in that chapter that the Passover lamb had to be slain. It had to be slain. A live lamb would not save the firstborn in the house. The blood then had to be sprinkled after the animal was slain. The blood had to be sprinkled on the two side posts of the door and also above the door. And in the shape, as you were standing and looking at it, in the shape of a cross, if you will. And so Jesus, showing us that Jesus is, that is through the blood that we have a relationship with God. You know, I read a thing last week maybe or a week before, and it was one of these universalist guys arguing for universal salvation, and his point was that the Bible says Jesus died for the whole world. And therefore, the whole world must be going to heaven. And when I read that, I started to think, oh my goodness, boy, you need to go back and read the Bible. Because you see, the blood had to be applied to the door. The blood had to be applied. It takes more than the shedding of blood to save the sinner. There must be the personal application. The blood must be put on the door of our hearts. Look at it this way. The blood in the Lamb was a picture of Christ's incarnation. The blood in the basin after the Lamb was slain and the blood was caught. The blood in the basin is a picture of the death of Christ. And then the blood on the doorpost of the house is a picture of that application. John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus had to die in order to become our Passover lamb. But John also taught us in chapter 1 of his book that to as many as received him, there's the application. You must receive Christ as your Savior. I wish I could stand here on this hill and just wave my hands in all directions and say, okay, now all Carroll County's saved. I wish I could do that. If I could do that, I would do that. But I can't do that because the blood has to be applied. And now here in the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter is the key chapter in this book. It is one of the pivotal chapters in all of the Word of God, in all of the law, because it is just full of pictures concerning our Savior and His death on the cross, on Calvary's cross for us. This chapter pictures atonement, Christ's atonement for our sins and the results of that atonement. This chapter is one of the most commonly referred to passages in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And so it is dealing with the atonement that Christ made for us. So you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Then the fourth book, the book of Numbers, has that great chapter telling us about the ashes of the red heifer and the water purification of Numbers 19. And then Deuteronomy 18, where Christ told the people about Christ the prophet, about a prophet coming out of the midst of you. And so each one of these first five books of the Bible, what we call the law, have pivotal chapters in them. And it's interesting that all five of these pivotal chapters point to one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so it's all about Jesus. All right, now let's go back here now and look at this Day of Atonement. And let me point out a couple of things to you. It's going to take us a little while to get through this whole thing, and we're certainly not in any hurry. So we'll just take our time and learn some really neat stuff. Let's go back now to the 10th chapter where I read to you a moment ago, and let's begin at the start of this day. I want you to look at, first of all, chapter 16. I need to make one point and then go back to chapter 10, so hold your place. But look at chapter 16 for just a minute and look at the wording. It says, "And the Lord," chapter 16, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron." He spoke to him after the death. Now, what I think happened here is chapter 10, verse 1, is the beginning of the Day of Atonement. I think that what happened here in chapter 10 with the death of Nadab and Abihu was something that started at the morning sacrifice on the Day of Atonement that is being discussed now in chapter 16. Now, because of what happened, because of what Nadab and Abihu did by offering strange fire to the Lord and subsequently lost their lives, you have the rest of chapter 10, and then you have God giving chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, and in these, he is giving all of these different laws concerning clean and unclean stuff. Now, you say, well, didn't they know all that? Well, they knew what they needed to know, but they didn't obey it. They didn't follow it. Nadab and Abihu did the wrong thing here. They knew to do what to do, but they didn't do it. They did the wrong thing. And so then in chapter 16, he then picks it up and he tells the rest of the story, if you will. All right. So let's go back now to the 10th chapter. It is the Day of Atonement, and something tragic happened on the very first day of the initiation of the law. All right. All the tabernacle is set up. God's given Moses all of it. Moses has given it to the people. And now it is time to initiate this whole law before the people. And so when the day started, something tragic happened. Look at your Bible, please. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, I've been telling you all this time something that I believe now to be incorrect, and I need to correct it tonight. I've said to you over the years, because I believe that that's the way it was, but after more study, I've changed my mind on it, and I want to explain to you why I have. But I have said to you that Nadab and Abihu let the fire go out on the brazen altar. I think after studying this that I was wrong on that. I think after I've read the chapter more carefully, I think the altar that they let the fire go out on is the golden altar in the holy place, not the brazen altar out in the courtyard. The golden altar of incense. You say, well, what's changed your mind? Well, a couple of things. Look, please, at chapter 10, verse 1. It says that that they took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put, what's the next word? Incense thereon. Now, the incense thereon, that caused me to think about it for a minute. They put the fire therein and incense thereon. That golden altar on the inside of the first door in the holy place was the golden altar of incense. All right, but there's more evidence than that. Look, please, at chapter 16. I'm gonna flip you back and forth here several times between chapters. So please, just follow me if you will. Look at verse 11. After the event happened, after the boys died before the Lord, Moses comes out to Aaron, and basically he speaks to him and tells him, you know, you're not to go in there now all the time. You're not to go in there. You're not to go inside the veil. Only on the Day of Atonement now will you go in. And so, let's see. Go down to verse 11. That's where I want. Verse 11. It says, "And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, for which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the," what? "Sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil." All right, now, I think that the death of Nadab and Abihu took place on the morning of the Day of Atonement. And you kind of get the implication. All right, let me see. We're back at chapter 10 again in verse 6. Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar his sons, "Uncover not your heads." What I think happened, I can't prove this, but what I think happened was out here was a brazen altar. I think that Ithamar and Eleazar were responsible for this brazen altar. I think that inside the holy place that Nadab and Abihu were responsible for the altar of incense. Now, neither one of them was to go out. God lit the fire on this one originally, and the idea was that you were to take the coals from this one, to keep the fire burning in this one. And I think what happened was the boys showed up. Ithamar and Eleazar are here, and the boys showed up. Now, you'll notice here in this, 11th verse? You'll notice here that God said, 11th verse, you'll notice that God told Moses to tell Aaron that on that day of atonement, he is to come and he's to stop at the brazen altar first and offer a sin offering. You see that? All right, why? For himself, for his own sin. He was to stop here and offer a sin offering. Now, what I think probably happened was Nadab and Abihu came and they offered their sin offering. They were not allowed to go in there until they stopped here. Remember that? You can't go in there before you stop here. You got to stop here first. Your sin has to be atoned before you can go and stand, quote unquote, before the Lord. And so what I think happened was Nadab and Abihu came and they made their sin offering, and then they went inside, and when they got in there, they had let the fire go out on the golden altar. So what'd they do? They grabbed a bucket. I can imagine that they did not want to go out here and let their brothers see that they had dropped the ball. Just a thought. And so the one of them slipped outside and went over. They got fire from somebody else's fire, came back in and lit it. And when they did, God killed them instantly. You say, well, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to come out to the original fire that God lit. The fire was never to go out. And so when they came and they offered strange fire before God, God struck them down. All right, so I think that that's probably what happened. So I'm changing my understanding of this. Now, the question is, why did Nadab and Abihu let the fire go out on the golden altar? Why'd they do that? I'll tell you why they did it. They just simply didn't do their duty. They didn't do their duty. But then there's something else here. Look at the 10th chapter. Go back to chapter 10. All right, now let's see. Let's start. Look here. It says, all right, so Moses, the fire went out and devoured them. Moses calls some people in, said, carry them out. He tells in verse 6, he tells Aaron and his other two remaining sons, look, guys, don't grieve. Don't uncover your heads. Verse 7, the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. Do your duty. Do what you're supposed to do. This is not about you. This is about God. Learn the lesson. This is about God. We're going to do things God's way, or God's going to stop the work. All right, so look at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron. All right, now in verse 3, Moses spoke unto Aaron. But now in verse 8, the Lord spake unto Aaron. And what did he say? He said, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Why would he say that? Could it have been that Nadab and Abihu were out drinking and they overslept maybe? I don't know. But I find it awful strange that right in the middle of this great day, of this day of celebration, when the law is getting initiated, when the whole thing is starting up, lo and behold, here's Nadab and Abihu not doing their duty. Could it be because they had been drinking? And God points his finger there and said, look, Buster, that's in the Hebrew. Look, Buster, you tell your boys no drinking if they're going to come in here. If they're going to come in here, they better be sober. They better know what they're doing. This is serious business. And so Nadab and Abihu came and offered strange fire upon the altar. It was common to them, but it was strange to God. That fire represented God's holiness, you remember. Our God is a consuming fire. It was the fire which God lit himself, which consumed the sacrifices that were offered in the place of man's sin. And so when they offered a strange fire upon the altar, God consumed them. And everyone learned a very valuable lesson that day. That lesson is that God is definitely serious about this matter of his law and the tabernacle and sin. God was saying, look, people, I'm real serious about this. And they all learned that day that God definitely was. Nadab and Abihu were devoured by the fire from the Lord, and they died before the Lord instead of lived before the Lord. There's a secondary thing that convinced me that this altar was the golden altar. If look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, look at verse 16. It says, and Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. You say, well, what? All right, let me read it again. And Moses, remember now, it's the morning of the Day of Atonement. And don't forget now, when the priests come in, they have to first, before anything else, they have to offer a sacrifice. They have to offer a sin offering to God. And so Nadab and Abihu come and they offer their sacrifice, and then they go inside while it's cooking, if you will. They go inside. Now, the law said that they could have some of that, and that they had to eat it sanctified, you know, upon the altar. So they go in, uh-oh, fire's out. Oh, boy, what are we going to do now? Well, grab a bucket. Come on, we'll sneak out this way while they're out there taking care of them. Come on. And they go out here and get some fire, come back in. Boom, they're dead. The brothers say, hey, it's done. No word. Somebody goes over and pulls the curtain back, and there they are laying there. They're dead. So Moses, they panic. I don't blame them. And they start calling for Moses and Aaron. And so here's Aaron. He's standing there and says, oh, no, my two boys. And he gets ready to take his hat off. He gets ready to take his coat off. And, no, you've already been anointed. Do not. This is a day holy unto the Lord. Don't blaspheme God. Don't grieve. Do your duty. And so Moses turns around in verse 16. He diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place? You see, they were to offer it, and then before it was burnt up, they were to take it and they were to eat it in the holy place to have strength and nourishment throughout the day because of what of the length of the day. They were going to be busy and they were to bring it in. And Moses turns around and is still on the altar, almost a crackling crunch by now. And so now Moses is mad at Ithamar and Eleazar. He said, what is wrong with you boys? What are you doing? Well, hey, my brothers are dead over here. Our brothers are dead. And so, read on. It said, wherefore have you not eaten? Verse 17, seeing it is most holy, and God hath given it you to bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place as I commanded. And Aaron said unto Moses, taken up for his boys, he says, behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? Would God have accepted this? Can you imagine Moses or Aaron standing there saying, wait a minute. You want me to eat this and you want me to take its blood and go in there? My boys are dead. God, go kill me too? He's standing there thinking this thing through. And when he gave that explanation, Moses was satisfied with it. Moses said, oh, well, okay. But now, boys, here's the rule. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it God's way. Now, has everybody got that? Has everybody got that? Can you see it? Can you see Moses? You got that, Ithamar? You got that, Eleazar? Aaron, you got that? If we're going to do this, we're going to do it God's way. And so right at the very beginning of this law, here is instruction. Here is direction. Here is counsel. Here is warning. Here is judgment. God's way or judgment? God's way or forget it? And brethren, listen, I don't care how sweet it sounds. I don't care all this, inclusive religion and inclusive salvation and all this, you know, we're all just brothers trying to get to the same spot. All roads lead to Rome. No, sir. One way, and that's God's way. I would think that Aaron and his two boys were probably afraid to move, if you want my opinion. They were probably scared to death. I mean, basically frozen with fear. And Moses said, come on, guys, there's no time to grieve here. The anointing of the oil of the Lord is upon you. So Moses lines them out as to what they were to do before the Lord. Now, think of the severity of this sin. Think of the severity of this. There's a couple of statements here. Go back to Exodus 19 here for just a minute. Let me read you just a couple of verses. Exodus 19, verse 22. Now here's Moses giving the instruction and direction about the law, giving the instruction concerning the priest and so forth. Look, please, at verse 22. It says, and the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. I wouldn't want the Lord break forth on me, would you? Now, you remember, these are the same people that Moses is talking to here who just a month earlier were standing on the other side of the Red Sea. And the cloud went over the top of them. It was leading them. It led them to the Red Sea. It went over top of them, and then it stood between them and the charging Egyptian army. And the Bible said that the army of the Egyptians came right up, but the cloud kept them apart. And the Bible said that Pharaoh went over and said that God looked at him through the cloud. Ooh. I bet old boy is shaking in his boots. God looked at him out of the cloud. I mean, these are the very people that firsthand witnessed the wrath of Almighty God. They saw it, and now here is instruction given concerning the law. And what does God say? God says, listen, you make sure that the priests are clean. You make sure that the priests are sanctified, lest the Lord break forth on them. But they didn't listen. They didn't listen. Look at Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy, holy for the Lord. Now watch this. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. This is the spice. This is the perfume, so to speak, that was sprinkled upon that altar of incense, and it was carried inside and anointed. They anointed the ark with it. And God gave Moses the spices and the specific instruction. But he warned the people. He said, now look, vanilla extract is perfectly good to put behind your ears for perfume, but you do not copy this. This is holy unto the Lord. Now, if you want to get a little vanilla and put it behind your ear, go ahead and do it, but do not copy this. And God warned him. God told him, said, look, you mess with this and you're going to be cut off from the people. He said, what's that mean? That means you die. You're cut off from your people. All right, so God was serious about this. So Moses lined them out. They knew. But the sad thing is, Nadab and Abihu did not follow the word of God. So the holiness of God is set forth at the beginning of God giving the law. The holiness of God was set forth. I mean, right there on that first day before the whole thing was ever kicked into gear. The holiness of God stood above everything else. And when Nadab and Abihu violated God's law and offered strange fire, they all learned a very powerful lesson that the holiness of God was to be honored and feared and revered, and that they were not to tread upon it. Now, this is interesting. Remember that this was the beginning of the age of the law, and the holiness of God is set forth by this incident. The holiness of God is also set forth at the beginning of the age of grace. You remember the incident with Ananias and Sapphira? And they lied to the Holy Spirit and to the church. They lied about the money, and God struck them down. Death was a drastic penalty in both cases. I'm saying, folks, that our God is a holy God, and he deals with his children. Make no mistake about it. All right, let me close with this. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 23. He said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling of, or to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Now think about that. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Wow. That's heavy. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Point is, folks, I don't care if you're Old Testament or New Testament, you better not mess with God's plan. You'd better not mess with God's word. You'd better not mess with what God says is. Because he means business with what he said. All right, we're just getting started. There is so much more here. But that's Nadab and Abihu. All right, we'll pick it up right here next time.